tonight, for our scripture reading this morning, we want to look into Genesis chapter 11. And I'm going to begin with verse 27. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife. And they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, he asses, and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. So may the Lord bless his word to our hearts. We'll be looking at that in just a few moments. Looking at the life of Abraham, one of the greatest of the patriarchs. Let's turn once again back to Genesis chapter 11. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you as we open your word today that we can study it and that we can learn of these people who lived so long ago. Sometimes we may wonder, why should we even bother? But we know there's so many lessons that we can learn, our Father, especially from men like Abraham and all that he means to so many people even today. And we pray to your Heavenly Father that we might be men of faith and women of faith like Abraham was. Help us, our Father, to walk in fellowship with you and to do your will in all things. We do pray this morning, our Father, for those who are ill. We ask you to undertake for them. I pray for my wife, Doris, that you'll strengthen her and help her to recover. We pray also for Elena Meshi and her family and the difficulties that they're going through right now. We pray for Charlie Wagner that you'll continue to give him strength day by day and meet his needs. And Ken Weber, as he's in therapy, we pray for him. We do want to pray for Roy Todd and ask you to help him to recover completely from the pneumonia that he contracted. And pray that you'll guide and help him as he lives for you day by day. We do thank you, Lord, for each and every one who is here today and pray that you will draw us all closer to yourself as we partake of the Lord's Supper a little bit later. We remember our Lord Jesus and all that he has done for us, and we praise you and thank you for all your goodness. We do pray this morning, our Father, for our missionaries. We thank you for the work that they're doing in various places around the world and ask you to continue to help them to reach more and more people, to bring them to Christ and to salvation. We thank you for Genesis Pregnancy Care Center, for the work that they're doing in Pottstown and the surrounding area. And we ask you, Lord, to undertake for them and help them as they are seeking to go medical. We pray that they would have the right kind of equipment, help them with this ultrasound to know how to use it and to put it to good use. We pray also that they might have a doctor that would be available to help them along the way and to work along with them. We thank you, Lord, for those who are being reached with the gospel. And we pray for these that were mentioned. Samantha, I remember, who is trying to raise her son and has another one on the way. We pray for her. And so many others like that, our Father, we just ask you to undertake for them and help them. We just pray that you'll continue to guide and direct in every way and that your holy will might be accomplished in all that is said and done. And now we ask you, Lord, to bless your word to our hearts today as we think about it, meditate upon it for a few moments. May your holy will be done. We pray that you'll meet the need of every heart. If there's anyone who has a spiritual need in their heart today, that they might respond in the right way and make it right in your sight. Thank you so much, Lord, for all your love to us. Guide and help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Abraham, of course, is one of the most important men in history, actually. And we find here how God called him. Abraham lived in Ur of the Chaldees, and his family, he and his family, were idol worshipers and knew nothing of the true and the living God until God somehow revealed himself to Abram and called him to go out and to begin a new life and to have a new nation formed and to be a blessing to the whole world. You say, well, how could this be? You know, Abram means high father, but later on God changed his name to Abraham, which means a father of many nations. And we know that today that he's revered by the Jewish people, of course, the Muslim people, and Christians, because he's the father of the faithful, as the scripture tells us. The father of all that believe, it says over in Romans chapter 4. And he lived about 2,000 B.C. And as I said, grew up there in Ur of the Chaldees. They found some remains and so forth. It demonstrates where he was from. It's in Iraq today. And but anyhow, God revealed himself to him and by his grace and mercy called this man to go out and to begin a new life. So we want to look at him and see what we can learn as far as the walk of faith is concerned. Here we find, first of all, his father's name was Terah, and he had these three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Abram was chosen by God, as it says in chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. So here we find God speaking to him in a special way. Now, at first, we find that his father and his nephew and went along with them on this journey for a while until they got to a certain place, and they named it Haran after the brother who had died and dwelt there for some time. And then finally, his father passed away at the age of 205. But you remember, they lived to be quite old back in those days. And he finally passed away. And so then Abram set out on his journey from there and went to what we call the Promised Land, right? Canaan. And God had spoken to him in a very definite way. And he began his great adventure with God, his walk of faith. And here, especially in chapter 12, it speaks of that and tells how he began and came to know the true and the living God. It's amazing how God, you know, if God did not reveal himself, none of us would know him, would we? We have that here in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God. And that's the only way we could possibly know about him. That's the only way Abraham would have known. He was surrounded by all kinds of idols and idol worship and pagan beliefs. And if God had not been gracious to call him, he would have never come, you see. Salvation is of the Lord, isn't it? He's the one who begins the whole process. He's the one who tells us, you know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If he hadn't said that, we wouldn't know it. Yeah. So it's wonderful to realize that God loves us so much that he gives us this revelation of himself. And here, Abram sets out on this time. Let's look over for a minute over in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith, where it speaks about Abraham in chapter 11, verse 8. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." So, God did his part. He revealed himself to Abraham, and Abraham did his part by obeying what God told him to do. See? That's what the Lord tells us, isn't it? To Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We read in Sunday school the other week, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Right? And so that's our part in following the example of Abraham. We are to obey God in everything that he tells us to do, that we might walk in righteousness and truth and be faithful no matter what happens around us, no matter how how wicked our civilization may get. We're to continue on, right? Faithful and true to God, and not allow our culture to mold us, to make us into something that we shouldn't be. I know I've been greatly disturbed recently with all of these things that are happening. This abortion issue that seems to constantly get worse and worse and worse. And at any rate, we're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Walk by faith, as Abraham did. Look with me, if you would, into Acts chapter 7, where Stephen, in his great sermon, talks about Abraham and how he set out, how God called him, and he obeyed. In Acts chapter 7, verse 2. And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. So that's talking about when Israel was in Egypt. But we see here, God made the promise to Abraham way back then, right? And we see that promise is still in effect today. And we know that the descendants of Abraham were to dwell in the land that God gave to them forever. So God's promise to Abraham here in chapter 12 of Genesis, we find, first of all, he says you're going to have a great nation. Verse 2, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." So this was the promise that God gave to this man. And it's been fulfilled in different ways. First of all, in the natural descendants, the Hebrews, the Jewish people, inherited the land. God gave it to them, and it belongs to them. And they are going to continue to dwell there, and to it's their rightful inheritance. Let's look at Genesis 13, verse 16. It says, "And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." So there's a great nation that's going to come from him. The dust of the earth, it says. This speaks of the natural descendants. And then also it speaks, I think, of his spiritual descendants. He's our example as a man of faith, and we are children of his in the sense of being people of faith. And here is the spiritual seed. It's in chapter 15 of Genesis and verse 5. 15 and verse 5, it says, that is, the Lord brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So not only is he going to have a natural seed, the dust of the earth, but also the stars of the sky, a spiritual inheritance here. And all believers are said to be children of Abraham. Let's look over there in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, where it tells us that we are children of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3. I've got so many bookmarks. Here we are. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel of the good news unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." So we are, in that sense, are considered to be the children of Abraham, spiritual seed, because of the faith that he had and the faith that we have in the Lord. And the other part was also he had another seed, which was Ishmael, which are the Arabic nations. They also are considered children of Abraham in a different sense. But this is in Genesis 17. And verse 18. Genesis 17, verse 18. It says, "And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." So that's the Jewish people. And verse 20. "And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year." So there's a special relationship that God has with the nation of Israel, right? He made a covenant with them, but he also has made the special blessings upon the people of Ishmael, the Arabic people. And but there's a difference there. I know there's a lot of conflict between these two groups of people, and actually they're relatives, you know. It's a family fight, because both are descended from Abraham. And yet, the main thing is that God has established his covenant with Israel, and it will not be broken. He's going to keep that promise that he made with them, and he'll keep the promise that he made with all of those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, thou shalt be a blessing. Through the descendants of Abraham, we have received the word of God, the Bible, right? All of the authors, almost all of the authors in the Bible are Jewish people. You know, for some reason, so many people have it in for the Jewish people, hate the Jewish people, and yet we have received so many blessings from them. We have the word of God that they have written. All of the early apostles, prophets, were Jews. And under this covenant that God made with Abraham to bless them, he said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. Here we have the promise, and I think this carries over to his descendants. Those who bless Abraham and those who come after him, this promise will be fulfilled. Those who have gone against the Jewish people have suffered for it, right? You remember the story of Haman over in the book of Esther? He tried to destroy the Jewish people and ended up on the gallows, right? And Hitler, you know, I know he did a great deal of damage, but at the end, he was taken down, and so many others. I think one reason God has blessed our nation so much is because we've always been a friend to Israel. And if we cease being the friend of Israel, I dread to say what might happen. This is the promise that God has made. And he keeps his promises, doesn't he? Huh? He certainly does. And we can rejoice in being the children of the promise. We who have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, we who know him as our Lord and Savior, we have the wonderful promise that God has given to us in his word that we will have eternal life with him. We have all of our sins forgiven, and rejoicing in the Lord for all that he does for us day by day. And here we have, following after Abraham and thinking about him and his faith. You know, sometimes we go through difficult times. In this last part of the passage that we read this morning, we see Abram making a mistake. You know, now as you walk by faith, you know, you have your good days and your bad days, right? You have your ups and you have your downs. And here we find that a famine came in the land of Israel, right? The land of promise that God told. He told Abram, I want you to go here. Abram sets up his altar. He worships God. And he's doing fine for a while. And then when the famine comes and things get rough, what does he do? He doesn't seem, there's nothing here that says that he asked God, what should I do? No. Verse 10, it says, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. There's nothing said about God telling Abram, I want you to go to Egypt. He didn't, you know. Here he's operating on fear rather than faith. You ever get to that place? I think we all do, don't we? But we need to place our faith in the Lord in hard times as well as in good times. And walk by faith no matter what's happening around us, with all of the tragedies that do happen in life, all of the natural disasters and things of that nature. We still need to be steadfast in our walk with the Lord. And this Abram here, he failed in this. He went down to Egypt, and then what did he do? He tells his wife, he says, wow, you're a good-looking woman. You know? That's a good thing to tell your wife every once in a while. You know, it might get you a few points. But anyway, he says, you're such a good-looking woman. When we get down to Egypt there, you tell him, hey, I'm his sister. And he wasn't lying completely. Now, so he's going to rationalize this because it was his half-sister. See? She was his half-sister, but she was also his wife. He says, but don't tell him you're my wife. You tell him you're my sister. That way, you know, they won't kill me and take you to be with them. So anyway, we find that he lies. It's just like the other men in the Bible. That's the one thing you can trust about the Word of God, the Bible. It tells you the truth, no matter how bad it might look, right? Like David when he took a Bathsheba and killed her husband. I mean, you don't get a whole lot worse than that, I don't think. And yet God forgave him and restored him. Huh? So there's hope for us as well, right? Yes. And here we have Abraham. In fear, making up a lie, and gotten into trouble here with the Pharaoh over it, but he finally got out. And then in verse 1 of chapter 13, it says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, went back up where God had told him to go. So he got through this episode and came out in the end, and was restored to his place of fellowship with the Lord. And God blessed him and helped him along the way. So Abraham is a great example to us of a man walking by faith, even though he may falter at times, and yet he's able to come back and be restored to fellowship with the Lord and walk with him. And that's the wonderful thing about God. He's willing to forgive us, you know, even when we fail, even when we fall on our faces. And he will help us through whatever situation we have if we'll only trust him, you see. And follow after his covenant and his promise and walk in the light of all of that. And trust in the Lord Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. Follow him and do his will. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning as we look at this example of Abraham. We thank you for him. Thank you for his faithfulness. And thank you that he was a human being like we and faltered at times. But you restored him. And you know, we know that you'll do the same for us. So, Lord, we pray now that you'll just speak to each one of us and teach us what we need to know and help us to be faithful to you. May our Lord Jesus be glorified. We pray in his precious name. Amen.